Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
episode 4 of The Way of Chuang Tzu. This is a Chinese philosopher from 300 BC, and evidently the world hasn't changed all that much in terms that it's running amok with corrupt politicians doing the wrong thing, and you as a philosopher or an agent have to work out how to exist in a world without being consumed, distracted by the evil. So it has a bit of the theory of opposites, which is sort of from the Enlightenment philosophy, which is a sort of bit weird to read through. Bit of a thing, it's a bit of a stomach turner for vegans, because it has the ideal butchery. An ideal butcher knows how to cut up an ox, just walks over to an ox and it just falls into the barbecue. Ox one say, it's over, you got barbecue chops, and he just knows how to do it very well. And people who don't know the art very well, who haven't done enough practice in the art, wind up just hacking the meat, making a muck up without enough thinking, forward thinking. You get distracted by doing, not thinking in advance is there. There's also big ideas, small ideas, and courses for courses. Now, there's a whole series of little parables or discussions, dialogues between people. So this is pretty much in the same form for ancient, that we get from the ancient Greeks. They give you dialogues or fables, Aesop's fables. Okay, this is on page 63, The True Man. What is meant by a true man? The true men of old are not afraid. When you'd have to be pretty old, from 3 BC, the old people. When they stood alone in their views, no great exploits, no plans. If they failed, no sorrow, no self-congratulation, success. They call scale cliffs, never dizzy, plunge into water, never wet, walk through fire, were not burnt, thus their knowledge reached all the way to Tao. The true men of old slept without dreams, oh my God, woke without worries, their food was plain, their breath was deep, the true men breathe from their heels, others breathe from their gullets, whatever that means, half-strangled in dispute, they heave up arguments like vomit. Oh, that's interesting. I like that, heaving up an argument like vomit. Ready to go here. I don't know whether the ultimate Chinese Tao is the ultimate laconic Aussie bloke who doesn't do too much, but I don't like that someone who sleeps with that dream. Where the fountains of passion lie deep, the heavenly springs are soon dry. The true men of old knew no lust for life, no dread of death. Their entrance was without gladness, their exit without yonder, without resistance. Easy come, easy go. They did not forget where they came from, nor ask where to, nor drive only forward, fighting their way through life. They took their life as it came, gladly took death as it came without care, and went away yonder, yonder. Well, they had no mind to fight Tao. They did not try with their own contriving to keep Tao. I like love your life is hanging by a thread, and heaven cuts that thread. These are the ones we call true men. Minds free, thoughts gone, brows clear, faces serene. Were they cool? Only cool as autumn. Were they hot? No hotter than spring. All that came out of them came quiet, like the four seasons. Well, I sort of like that. It is sort of like, ultimately, because no one cares about you individually, as an individual, you really got no choice but to be a calm person, calmly just run your own cruise line. I feel like a COVID-19, I feel my life is a personal cruise liner, and that, I don't know, I've had a bit of engine trouble and sort of not wanted in any port, so to speak. Okay, metamorphosis. Oh my God, this, again, readers, my glasses are really digging in. The little, you know, the little rubber feet on them have come out. I don't know why. I feel it's tempted to put a bit of Scholastic there. Metamorphosis. Four men, you know, I like there's three men go into a bar, right, blah, 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 and then they die. One of them dies, and then the other two have a sing-along about them, and it doesn't make sense. It's completely stupid, and then confuses the disciple. Confuses go, oh, what the heck? It's one of their stories. Metamorphosis. Four men go in a discussion. I wonder if one is going to die. Four men go in a discussion. Each one said, "Who knows how to have the void for his head, to have life as his background, and death for his tail? He shall be my friend." At this, they looked at one another. Saw they agreed, burst out laughing, and became friends. Then one of them fell ill, and another went to see him. "Great is the Maker," said the sick one, "who has made me as I am. I'm so doubled up, my guts are over my head, upon my navel I rest my cheek, my shoulders stand out beyond my neck. My crown is an ulcer, surveying the sky. My body is chaos, but my mind is in order." He dragged himself to the well. He saw his reflection and declared, "What a mess he's made of me." A friend said, "So are you discouraged?" "No, not at all. Why should I be? If he takes me apart, he makes a rooster of my left shoulder. He shall announce the dawn. If he makes a crossbow out of my right shoulder, he shall procure roast duck. If my buttocks turn into wheels, and if my spirit is a horse, I'll hitch myself up and ride down my own wagon." Well, this is perhaps, this is something which will be quoted like a normal Bible would say, "Look, he pisses against the wall, this is completely loony tunes." "There is time for putting together, another time for taking apart. He who understands," it's not me, "this course of events takes each new state in a proper time with neither sorrow nor joy. The ancient said, the hanged man cannot cut himself down, but the true time nature is stronger than all his ropes and bonds. It was always so. Where is the reason to be discouraged?" Well, okay, so there are four men. Why do you have four? I don't quite understand. One falls ill, is pretty messed up, comes up with what appears to delirium, and I'm just none the wiser. Thank you very much. I don't think there's going to be a really famous one here. "A man is born in Tao." So Tao is sort of like the essence of a good religion with actually no substance to it, as far as I can see. "Fishes are born in water. Man is born in Tao." Oh, sort of going. "If fishes born in water seek deep shallow of pond and pool, all their needs is a fight. If man is born in Tao, sinks into deep shadow of non-action to forget aggression and concern, he lacks nothing, his life is secure." Moral. All the fish needs to get lost in water. All the man needs to is to get lost in Tao. Well, there you go. I like that. Long as he didn't say, Machin says, man is like a dung beetle. All he needs to do is wrap his friends up in a big dung heap and roll them into oblivion. Okay, so that really is sounds nice, but it's sort of like, well, what if a man is not like water and stuff like that? So, okay, so what is a man? Not like a fish or something like that. Or does a fish necessarily, you know, the oxygen levels deprive and all that type of stuff? Okay, two kings and no from. No form. There's John from. There's John from in Vanuatu, the cargo cult. All the American soldiers came here. I'm from Idaho. I'm from Wyoming. And so they thought everyone, all the white people were called John Froms. I like it. Now, so two kings and no-form. The South Sea King was act on your hunch. The North Sea King was act in a flash. The king of the place between them was no form. Now, South Sea King and North Sea King used to get on together often to land to the land of no form. He treated them well, so they consulted together. They thought up a good turn, a pleasant surprise for no form, a token of their appreciation. Men, they said, have seven openings for seeing, hearing, eating, breathing, and so on. So it's two eyes, two ears, that's in the mouth, the head, isn't it? So the eyes, ears, nose, is seven openings. I would have said, but no from has no openings. Let make him a few holes. So after that, they put holes in no from. One day, for 7 days, when they finished the seventh opening, their friend lay dead. Taoland said, to organize is to destroy. Well, there you go. That's one thing. Don't put holes in your friend because they're not active enough. I think this is a little bit true for these little societies of place that they go at their own pace and leave them like there. Okay, let's have a good look around here. For security against cracking the safe. So this is 3rd century BC. We are living in huts, and they've got Conan the Barbarian type of stuff going around Northern Europe. You know, it's pretty bad in Europe, and these people have a safe. Not only do they have a safe, they have a safe which can crack. So I assume, well, what's fun if it's a lock? So that's no from. There you go, two kings. Two kings and no from. Whatever, no form. So, I think that might be about society bringing up too much intelligence into society and killing the essence of it. Cracking the safe. Well, this is a pretty amazing thing. For security against robbers who snatch purses, rifle luggage, and crack safes, one must fasten all property with ropes, lock it up with locks and bolts. Bolt it with bolts. This, for the property owners, is elementary good sense. But when a strong thief comes along, he picks up the whole lot. He puts it on his back and goes his way with only one fear, that ropes, locks, bolts may give way. Thus, what the world calls good business is only a way to gather up the loot, pack it, and make it secure. That's sort of like, and it makes me of corporate takeover, so I will run well-run business, all the books, I think it's all bundled up, ready for takeover. In one convenient load for more enterprising thieves, who is there among those called smart who does not spend his time amassing loot for a bigger robber than himself? In a land of Ki, from village to Kai, from village to village, you could hear cocks crowing, dogs barking, fishermen cast their nets, ploughmen plough the wild fields. Everything was neatly marked out by boundary lines. For 500 square miles, there were temples of ancestors, altars for field gods and corn spirits. Every canton, country, and district was run according to the law and statutes. Until one morning, the Attorney General Qin Kanzu did away with the king and took over the whole state. Was he content to steal the land? No. He took over the laws and statutes at the same time, and all the lawyers with them, not to mention the police. They all form part of the same package. Of course, that's what I was saying, corporate takeovers. It's just the thing. Of course, people called Kang Zhu was a robber, but they left him alone to live happy as the patriarchs. No small state would say a word against him. No large state would make a move in his direction. for 12 generations to say of Chiki, which is a fair distant 12 generations, that's a few hundred years, and this is 300 BC, so this is a jaw-breaking sort of, and the Chinese have been thousands of before they belonged to his family. No one interfered with his inalienable rights. Oh, okay. The invention of weights and measures makes robbery easier. Signing contracts, setting seals make robbery more sure. Teaching love and duty provides a fitting luggage with to provide a robbery. Is ideal, is really ready for good. A poor man must swing from stealing a belt buckle. Oh, he would think, but if a rich man steals a whole state, he is acclaimed as a statement of the year. Statement of the year, 300 BC. Statements of the year is like, what is amazing? I think that is so true, and that you teach your students at these schools loyalty, and that people are as corrupt as is. And hence, if you want to hear the best speeches on love, duty, and justice, sort of listen to a statesman. But when the creek dries up, nothing will grow in the valley. When the mould is levelled, the hollow next is filled. When the statement of lawyers and breaches of duty disappear, then there are no more robberies either, and the world is at peace. Moral. The more you pile up ethical principles and duties and obligations to bring everyone in line, the more you gather loot for a thief like Kang. By ethical argument and moral principle, the greatest crimes are eventually shown to have been necessary and, in fact, a single benefit to mankind. Isn't that a pretty amazing insight, folks? Okay, so this goes in, and so there's a certain aspect to what is it? This thing of you go and you put the seeing eyes. You push an organisation the way that you can't go. Okay, leaving things alone. I know about letting the world alone, not interfering. I do not know about running things, letting things alone, so all men will not bow their nature out of shape. Not interfering, so men will not be changed into something they are not. When men do not get twisted and maimed beyond recognition, when they are allowed to live, the purpose of government is achieved. Too much pleasure, yang, has too much influence. Too much suffering, yin, is too much influence. When one of the outweighs the other, it will as if the recesses came at the wrong time. The balance of cold and heat is destroyed, the body of a man suffers. Too much happiness, too much unhappiness, out of due time, men are thrown off balance. What will they do next? Thoughts run wild, no control, they start everything, finish nothing. Their completion begins, their idea of excellence is born, the robbers appear in the world. Now, the whole world is not enough to reward the good, nor enough punishment for the wicked, since now the world itself is not big enough for the reward and punishment. From the time of the three dynasties, men have been running in all directions. How can they find time to be human? I would agree with that. I would agree with this is one of the ironies here is that we're going so quick, and we realize now that our production is inefficient, and we are destroying the meager world resources. So it's time to actually slow right down and actually get production perfect. Train your eyes and your vision, thus after colour. Train your ears and you long for a delightful song. You delight in doing good and your natural kindness is blown out of shape. You delight in righteousness and you become righteous beyond all reasons. You overdo liturgy and you turn into a ham actor. Overdo the love of music and you play corn. Love of wisdom leads you to wise contriving. Love of knowledge to fault-finding. All men say stay as they really are, taking on leave. These eight delights would make no difference. But if they will not rest in their right state, the eight delights develop like a malignant tumours. The world falls into confusion. Since men honour these delights, lust after them, the world has gone stone blind. Whatever stone blind means. When the delight is over, they will still not let go of it. They surround its memories with ritual worship. They fall on their knees and talk about it, play music and sing, fast and discipline themselves in honor of the eight delights. When the delights become a religion, how can you control them? That is pretty amazing. Delights becoming a religion. I like that story. The wise man then, when he must govern, knows how to do nothing. Let things alone, he rests in his original nature. He who governs will respect the governed no more than respects himself. If he loves his own person enough to let the rest of his original truth, he will govern without hurting them. Let him keep the drives in his own guts from going into action. Let him keep still, not looking, not hearing. Let him sit like a corpse with the dragon power alive with all around him. In complete silence, his voice will be like thunder. His movements will be invisible, like those of the spirit, but the powers of heaven will go with them. Unconcerned, doing nothing, he will see all the things grow ripe around him. Where will he find time to govern? So I sort of like that we really need politicians just to really calm down and just do a little bit of politics and leave government, running of government, up to the civil service. And thank goodness Australia, we haven't cut back our civil service. And so the civil service has swung into action with the COVID crisis. Thank goodness we hadn't had dick brains running the place. Kingly man. My master said, that which acts on all and meddles in none is heaven. The kingly man realizes this, hides his heart, grows boundless mind, wide-minded, draws all to himself. And so he lets the gold lie hidden in the mountain, leaves the pearl lying deep. Good possessions are no gains and desires. He stays far from wealth and honor. Long life is no ground for joy, or early death for sorrow. Success is not for him to be profound. Failure is no shame. He had all the world's power he would hold as his own. If he conquered everything, he would not take it to himself. Isn't that beautiful? Whatever that means, I don't quite understand. His glory is knowing that all things come together in one, capital O-N-E, and in life, and life and death are equal. Well, that's a bit deep for me. Oh, God, no. So that's a bit deep for me. And then it says, how deep is Tao? And now, what does Tao mean? It's something that these Chinese people said. It's sort of like distilled religion without the Pope. It's sort of like the goodness of, it sounds to me like the goodness of Islam and everything wrapped up. They're like the good distilled. It's sort of like you get, it's like the wine of, it's sort of like fermented religion ahead of any of this, you know, 1,000 years ahead. My master said, Tao is deep, and how still its hiding place. Tao is pure. Without stillness, metal would not ring. Stone, when struck, would give no answer. The power of sound is in the metal, and the Tao in all things. When they clash, they ring with Tao and are silent again. Who is there now to tell all things their places? The king of life goes his way, free, inactive, and known. He would blush to be in business. He keeps his deep roots down, origin down in the spring. His knowledge is enfolded in spirit. He grows great, great, opens a great heart, a world refuge, without forethought. He comes out in majesty. Without plan, he goes his way, and all things follow him. He is a kingly man who rides above. Well, I don't quite understand that, but I sort of get that if you are completely Chinese, capitalism is really not an option for you, mate. If I'm going through here, they're going to come out. I think the Chinese are going to come out something other than capitalists reading this. And one of the main thing is that they're not mucking with your psychology. You know, you love, and this is going to happen to you personally. And it's sort of like, it's really, you know, I feel personally violated by Catholic religion. It really gets into your heart, and you know, it's sort of like, you know, tell us all your sins. Or you don't say, you know, on your way, no way, bucko, I'm not going to tell you anything, priest. It's sort of very intrusive, where this is not intrusive. Okay, this one sees in the dark, hears where there is no sound. In the deep dark, he alone sees light. In the soundless, he perceives music. He can go down to the lowest of the low places and find people. He can stand in the highest places and see. Meaning, he is in contact with all beings. That which is not goes his way. That which moves is what he stands on. Great is small for him. Strong, long and short for him. Long and short for him. And all distances are near. I like the idea of all distances are near. This is the sense of accessibility and nearness might be the things that I think go in terms of something that will be near that I can pick it up or I can walk over to it. You've got those two sorts of general human, the human scale is this idea. Okay, now the lost pearl. The yellow emperor went wandering to the north of the red water to the Kuan Lun mountain. He looked around over the edge of the world. On the way home, he lost his night coloured pearl. He sent out science to seek his pearl and got nothing. He sent out analysis to look for his pearl and got nothing. He sent out logic to look for his pearl and got nothing. He asked nothingness and nothingness had it. It's a bit deep for me. Or if you're a pearl, sort of look after it, mate. Going to the edge of the world. I loved over the edge of the world. He looked around over the edge of the world. Whatever that means. The yellow empress had said, strange indeed, nothingness. Who was not sent, who did not work to find it, had the night coloured pearl. Sort of like the night garden. It sounds like a kiddie's tale. Oh, that's it. Well, how could nothingness have a night-coloured pearl, a black pearl? Oh, I suppose this is to go beyond logic and science, I suppose. Okay. In my end is my beginning. Whatever this means. This is obviously getting a bit too much for a poor Aussie to work through. In the beginning of beginnings was a void, the nameless. And the nameless was the one, without body, without form. This is sounding a bit like Genesis to me. This one is being in whom all find power to exist, is the living. From the living comes the formless, the undivided. From the act, this formless, comes the existence, each according to this inner principle, this form, here body, embraces the cherished spirit. The two work together, one blending and manifesting their characters, and this is nature. I guess I'll get a feeling of a little bit of the Big Bang and quantum field theory by reading that. But he who obeys nature returns from through form and formless to the living. So form, the I can always get that in terms of your idea of form or consciousness as living. And in the living joins unbegun beginning. The joining is sameness. The sameness is void. The void is infinite. The bird opens... Oh, this is where it's lost me. The bird opens its beak and sings its note. Maybe that's quantum physics and wave functions. And then the beak comes together again in silence. So nature is, that might be wave function collapse. So nature and the living meet together in the void. And I suppose that makes sense in terms of the intellectual void. You like, you've got a conceptual void and space is like living its consciousness. Like the closing of the bird's beak, oh dear, after its song, or like a wave function coming out. Heaven and earth come together in the unbegun, and all is foolishness, all is unknown, all is like, and the lights of an idiot, all without mind, to obey the close beak and fall to the beginning. Okay. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.